Thank you, Lord. It's a good thing to trust Him because the Scriptures say whether we live or die, we belong to Him. That's a good reason to trust Him, especially when it's the dying part. The living part's easy. We trust Him because we can make a quality decision to do that. Well, it's wonderful to see you all again this morning. And I have something I'd like to read before we go too far. I like to tweak that little sense of humor that you guys all have. You know, that's a common thing here. There's a lot of times when we're very serious, but there's times when it's really okay to enjoy our faith, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we don't hear a lot about that joy. It just needs to bubble and percolate, you know, until it's like a pressure cooker. You just got to let it rip, get the lid off, and go for it. So this will help us smile and be able to relate to maybe different ministries that you've been involved with, or maybe different churches that you've been to or whatever. But I kind of like it. It has a wonderful theme, and it has to do with grace and about the way we learn to treat one another. And so I'm just going to read this, and you can come to your own conclusions about the matter, but I think you'll find it's going to prompt us. Do I have what this man had in his last days? An old preacher was dying. He sent a message for his banker and his lawyer, both church members, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered up to his bedroom. As they entered the room, the preacher held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on each side of his bed. The preacher grasped the hands, sighed contentedly, smiled, and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. Both the banker and the lawyer were touched and flattered that the preacher would ask them to be with him during his final moments. They were also puzzled. The preacher had never given them any indication that he particularly liked either of them. They both remembered his many long, uncomfortable sermons about greed, covetousness, and avaricious behavior that made them squirm in their seats. Finally, the banker said, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come?" The old preacher mustered up his strength and then said weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go." I really desire that kind of grace to not just whack them at least once, you know. Amen.
Can you copy that? No.
Yeah, I could. Put it on the end of your...
Yeah, exactly. Put it on the end of my...
Oh, thank you, Lord. Anybody have a testimony or a praise report this morning? We like to let people know that God indeed is still very much involved in our comings and goings. Yes, Ken.
Yes. I am, just to let people know, I am 13 days post-op from hip replacement surgery. I'm doing really well. I had a walker for my first week, and it got to the point where I was just almost just carrying the walker. They graduated me to a cane, which I'm really supposed to use, but I don't use it around the house. I give God all the glory because, I mean, even Dr. Solano, I talked with him before my surgery, and of course he assured me too that I had anterior hip surgery. Anterior is a lot easier to recover from, quicker and all that, and praise God for that. They had me up, I came home that day after 14 hours, they had me up within the first 2 hours after I woke up. Last week was quite a bit more difficult, of course, but this past week, or weeks ago, I mean. But this past week, I've been doing better. I still got some issues. By the end of the day, my whole leg was swelling, but now I have swelling down maybe in my lower calf and ankle and foot. But I put it up, elevate it, and all this other stuff. And I don't know. I just feel very, very glad that I've had it done. I'm gracious to the Lord that I'm doing this well. And so give him all. And I want you to know. Usually, of course, everybody knows, usually I stand up to do worship. Well, we had to lower the keyboard and stuff, but I want everybody to know I brought stool softeners today.
Wow. I'll put that with the other one.
So I just thank you, Lord.
Oh, okay. Yes, Priscilla. Aaron says yes. We'll tell Critter to leave it in. It'll be up. All our website listeners will say.
And also, which kind of is really funny, my physical therapist says she wants to make me a poster guy for hip replacement surgery because she's finding it difficult to challenge me in my exercises that I'm doing so well. So, yeah.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Someone else. Yes, Stuart.
Okay. To those of you that don't know me, I'm Stuart Beam. I'm running for office from uptown Vermont for a year, town of Springfield, as a Republican. I'm going to do my best to try to change things. Now, anybody that wants one of these, things need to be changed. There's no question about it. So I'm out campaigning. The sign's coming next week. I'm starting to advertise already. And I don't know about you guys, but I've had about enough of what's going on. And it needs to stop. All this writing and all this other stuff, I don't understand some of the things you're saying and coming out with, because I don't feel that way. I feel the way God, okay? So I just want to make things better for people, the way that it should be, okay? So I've got... For anybody that wants one, this is what I'm going to be doing. And if you'd like to, you can donate the campaign. You don't have to live in Springfield, okay? Just donate the campaign. But I've got the papers here. If you want one, just see me afterward, and we'll go from there, okay? Thank you.
You know what's really neat is he and I have known each other since he was probably about 6 or 7 down in Bellas Falls years ago. And to just... see, be around long enough in grace of the Lord to be able to see what where some of the people are that you knew when they were young, and to see where how they've grown and all the years that, you know, life is like that.
Am I one of those people?
Yes, Grace. I would say definitely your whole family is, and. You graduated, so now you're in the big time. Yeah. Any comments on all those things? What do you think about finally being out of school?
I have more time for books.
More time for books. Amen. And more time for the book. Yeah.
And work.
Yep. Very good. Somebody else? Yes, Peggy.
Okay, because if we want, got what we wanted, it wouldn't be the right thing. care if I got the money. I don't care. I can sit there and say bad things about me kids all day. But don't you say nothing, because it's like stirring up the mama bear. So I was like, all right, Lord, you're after me and you're after my family. And I want you to bring Roger in, because he's out again today. He's got a job for $1,000, so that added to the blessing. And he said, say a good word for me, Lord, at church. So I'm waiting for the day when he comes in and takes his own good word.
Yep, he'll have a testimony.
And don't depend on mama anymore.
It's coming. It's
and
coming.
Amen. So it's really, you know, it's such a blessing to know that God takes care of you no matter what it is. Whether it's this big or, I don't know, it's like, get excited, people. I don't know, maybe it's just me and my belief now, but it's like, what is the matter with you people? Come on. I want a little laughter, I want a little joy, I want to hear a little excitement. I'm in with my brothers and sisters who love the Lord, you know, because sometimes you see people and they go to church and they look like they're sucking on pickles.
Well, that's funny.
Well, it's true. It's like, God is so good, and, you know, you want people to share Christ with you, you know, to walk around, you know, to, I don't know, I just, it's like, all right, Lord, if you have to go along, we'll go along. But anybody wants to smell, come along, come on.
That's right. I've been to places before where the people that take up the offering look like pallbearers. That's really creepy. God, we're supposed to be cheerful. But I, as you were talking about the enemy throwing darts, I just instantly my mind went to this verse from Ephesians chapter 6. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that's really important, because everybody has battles. You know, we all got stuff going on. But it's also important to realize God already sees us on the winning side. Because look at what Jesus did. And so it's just really, it changes life from the pickles to the joy. It doesn't mean every day is, it doesn't have its challenges, but what's going on inside that matters? How do we, the best way to confuse the devil is when he gets you to the point where you want to be so angry, you just start laughing and the joy comes out and you start thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus, the devil's under my feet. And it's everything changes. The whole atmosphere changes.
And when,
yes.
Because it's like we never really wanted to get together or whatever. And such what happened to Rover down in the beginning and everything, it's like, because he knew that we loved him and we wanted him home. And it's like the whole atmosphere is changing. It's like now we're having cookouts every other weekend, if not every weekend. And, you know, it's like we're doing things together as a family. So I think that's God's real blessing.
Yes.
You know? Not the cash, not the house or what car or whatever. This is what, because I have prayed, 30 or 40 years for this, for my family to be close and to love the Lord, and they're coming in. And that, I feel that's my blessing now. You know, I never gave up, even though I thought, where are you, God? You know, so it's like, I don't know.
It's your inheritance. And that's part of it. Someone else? Yes, Joanna.
After being retired for 1 year, I decided it was time to look for a part-time job. So just before the COVID happened, I got a retail job, and I worked there a whole week. In that week, I was with a person that wasn't faith-filled at all, and we were under a lot of pressure because we knew the COVID thing was happening, and we didn't know, you know, what was going to happen with that retail business. I heard the Lord's name in vain so many times, and I get the girl, she realized what I am and who I am, and she would say, I'm sorry, and I'd say, well, Don't be sorry that I heard it. Be sorry that you found that you needed to say that. You know, I would try to choose another word when I was stressed. Well, that job ended in 1 week. Bang, COVID took over, shut, you know, our world down. And what I didn't realize, it was funny, I had put out a lot of applications. And I said, you know, if I get a job, I get a job. If I don't, I hope it's with a very spiritual, good company, people that think like me, because I had a little piece of what I didn't really like very much. Well, lo and behold, just as the COVID thing was, things were beginning to open up, the faucet was turned a teeny bit, I got a call from a company that I've just thought were amazing for years. I used to stop at that place on my way home from work and spend money that I probably didn't have to spend, but I did it anyway. And I got a job at Allen Brothers. I work out in their greenhouse, and I'll tell you, those are the kindest Christian people you could ever meet. They are so caring, and I get to play with plants. I work 4 days a week, and I play with plants. It's perfect for me. So God quietly, you know, that application was old. It was like January. I put it in. They called me just before Mother's Day, and it was like, I forgot I had even applied there. I was like, oh, thank you, thank you. And my interview went this far. Stacy walked in. Stacy, like the owner's wife, walked into Casey, Corey, the girl that does hiring stuff. She goes, she looks at me and she goes, if it feels right, just hire her. And I was hired, dang. Just like that. It was amazing. Yeah, so I'm lucky. And I'm thankful that I am now working at Allen Brothers.
First time I'd seen Tim in over 40 years, and I used to play basketball with him in school.
Yeah, I remember when they were all little.
Yeah.
It's like we're all still in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Some are afraid to come around to see what happened to some of us. But they're coming too, like you said, Peggy. Someone else? Anyone else? We good? Okay, opening scripture this morning, Titus chapter 3. When's the last time you read Titus? Never mind. Well, it's not one of those you come across too often, but he's really here. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. I have it today in the NIV. And very similar to what Paul had written to the Ephesian church and the Colossian church, he kind of reminded the church that what our BC days were like. And then he goes, but God. You know, if you just think about all that you've just said today, and then you put in there, but God. Everything changes when, actually I call it the God factor. No matter how bad our day is going, or things are going on around us, this is the God factor to be considered. And so, but Paul is talking here, while it's quite disputed in some theological circles as to whether Paul wrote this letter or not, but then they come to the conclusion they can't tell he didn't either, so I just say the Holy Spirit, whoever the writer was, the Holy Spirit inspired them to write it, because all the word is inspired by the Spirit. But it says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. And before I go any further, think about the day or the evening or the night that you got saved. Just go back in time. And think about this again. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared to me, or to you, put your name in there. He saved us. He saved you. He saved me. Not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. I've come to realize in all my life that since God knows all things from the beginning to the end, that there was a time when I thought, boy, he got a bad deal with me. but he wasn't surprised. He knew from the beginning. what our life would be like. And yet he still showed us mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And how precious this is, the King James says, through the washing of regeneration. To regenerate means to make something brand new. And that's a real truth, that in the body of Christ, it seems like there are a lot of people that don't know who they are. They don't know who they are in Christ. And until we learn those things, we can flounder and bounce around like a BB in a boxcar too. But once we're rooted and grounded in these truths and come to realize what happened to us and who showed us the mercy and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, we're renewed daily. Sometimes the Lord has to wait until we're asleep because we're talking too much. But it's the Spirit is continuously working in our lives. I've been accused of talking about the Holy Spirit too much, but not here. It's just, he's the power factor. He's the one that moves the obstacles. Do you know that even going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, when God spoke his vision for his creation, first he had it, but then he had to speak it. And when he spoke it, he gave something for the Holy Spirit to work with. And out of that came the creation. And it's the same in our lives. He's always creating. He's always working. He's always molding us and making us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Our spirit man already is. But then there's the yielding to him so that people can see his likeness in us, his attributes, his character, his nature. Because everywhere we go, we bring him. So that's, these are just marvelous truths, in whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. What did he pour out? He poured out his mercy. He poured out his grace. And I like the word poured out, because when I get a picture of poured out versus a trickle, that's a whole bunch more. You think about a thunderstorm that can drop an inch of rain in just a few minutes versus a little sprinkle that wets the grass, nothing much more than dew. And when God pours out his mercy, it's really an abundant amount. And you got to figure all the people on the planet, there's just some that haven't come under that grace or under that mercy yet, but it's there for them as well. Jesus never died for anybody that was saved. So we can't get too hoity-toity about that either. Amen. You know, we're all in the same boat, and it was sinking. But it's wonderful what he's done. And so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope, having the hope of eternal life. And it says, being justified by his grace. Justified is a short word meaning just as if I never sinned. There's a lot of people that remind us of our sins because that's all they know about us, so that's all they see. But God doesn't do that. He looks at us through the filter of the blood of Christ. And that's a whole different picture. And not only that, we never have to remind God of something he said he forgot. Because you could get up and say, oh, I'm having a really bad day. Father, do you remember the day I said this to so-and-so? And he'd say, mm-hmm. No. I don't remember that. I mean, they call him Ancient of Days, but he's not, you know, he's really with it. He doesn't remember. Somebody needed to hear that today. That's powerful. And becoming heirs. You see, you can't become an heir unless someone dies. And then there's an inheritance to be divided up. And some of us have gone through that with our families and loved ones. But God went through it too. His son died. And we're heirs according to the promise of that. But the good thing is Jesus was raised up on the third day, and because of that, he oversees and makes sure by his blood that you receive and understand and know what your inheritance is. Where do you fit in? What's your portion? And then, to go a step further, whatever measure of grace we received, that's what we're to show others. Whatever measure of forgiveness we received, that's what we're to show others. Whatever amount of mercy we received, that's to demonstrate to others. Someone talked about how, just this morning, about things going on around us, we would be blinded to not see these things, but by the Spirit, we're here to make a difference. And everywhere you go, you make a difference. You affect the atmosphere of the place. You make a difference. When you go to Montpelier, be ready to see all the rats headed for the river.
Can you do that in Washington too?
They're still running. Oh, gosh. But these are wonderful reminders when you think about all the things maybe your mind is occupied with during the week. We're blessed and we find favor, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what he did. And when Barbara said all the promises of God, it's in Christ, or yes and amen. You got to remember that they're in Christ, that they're yes and amen. It's in Christ that we're blessed. It's in Christ that we find favor. It's like that. Don't you ever feel like Bubble Boy sometimes? In that protective thing, that sphere around you? All the missions trips have gone on. Don't you feel that way sometimes, Simone, when we travel and we're away from home, we're away from the fellowship that we have here with each other? And you can feel alone. Sometimes I've traveled and gone alone to India a lot of times. And I look around the airplane and I don't know a single person on that plane. But I feel so encompassed and so enclosed in the Spirit. That's why it's like I feel like I'm a spiritual bubble boy, because I feel all just wrapped up and enclosed in that. Or like a scallop with a nice piece of bacon wrapped around it, if that's more palatable to your understanding. Yeah, makes you hungry for more, doesn't it? Well, just some good things to think about, okay? And take a few minutes, greet each other. Oh, yes, a testimony. You just go ahead and do it. Yeah. Excuse me.